Lord says, this is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. I saw the law go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and he will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And from Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
Because 10 or 11 years old, my state of mind was, it gets easier to read the Bible the older you get. I mean, you get more spiritual when you get older. And not to be crass, but it just seemed logical to me. When you get to that point in life where there are more days back there than there are up here, you start thinking, I'm getting ready to take a trip. You want to make sure which trip you're going to take. So you get more spiritual. You start reading the Bible. Feel the same way about that. I have Archibald MacLeish, the poet, I think put it best. It's a wonderful quote. When he was celebrating his 80th birthday, he said, at the age of 80, you begin to look ahead. Which is interesting because most of us with the senior saints, our experience is they're looking back to the good old days, but no, at the age of 80, we're looking ahead. Well, that's what I thought when I was 10 or 11. I'm not 10 or 11. I'm a senior saint. I gladly take advantage of all those senior citizens' discounts and come there's a point in my life, and I'm at that point, where I want to look back and I want to scream down the tunnel of time, the young couple that's been married. It's the late 1980s. It's myself and my wife. And we haven't had children yet. Married a few years, but we're on the brink of parenthood. We have a small circle of friends, a meaningful life, a good church. We're ready for kids. And we're sitting at the dining room table talking about what it will be like to have children. And we're saying, you know, we've had a lot of friends, and when they get married, their life changes radically. We call them up for dinner, and they say, oh, kid, it's nap time, it's you. And we say to ourselves, that's not going to be us. Because we're just going to add the baby to our life. We have a good life right here now. People want to do something, we're going to do it. What's so hard about putting a baby in a car seat and throwing a diaper bag in the back? If I want to yell down the tunnel of time and say, have you ever experienced the 7.2 magnitude earthquake? Because that's about what you're on the brink of. Bless you. That's the way it feels to be a mature saint. And when you're in your 6th, 7th, 8th, maybe 9th decade, you feel as though you want to say amen when somebody says the more things change, the more they remain the same. And sometimes I think at this point in life, I'm a disciple of Jesus, but I'm also a disciple of Solomon. You know, the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, back in ancient Israel, 3,000 years ago. If you've not read his book, it's pretty good. You might want to read it with antidepressants, but Ecclesiastes is a fascinating book. But it starts this way. What will be, what has been, will be again. There's nothing new under the sun. And I'm right with you there, Solomon, because I've seen it all. And at this age, there's a temptation to think that we know the way life is structured. We know what's real and what's not. Yeah, okay, we're going to change the world, but this is the way things are. And that, in essence, is why it's so hard to read the Bible when you get older. Because the Bible is all about change. Every page of Scripture changes. It just starts in that way. The Bible says there was nothing, and then there was a whole lot of something. Huge change. Isaiah says, Isaiah chapter
sometimes not hard to do. Maybe you should all come forward. We'll all sit right here. Think about what it was like when you were a child and you listened to the stories of Jonah. What it must have been like. Remember it? Now think in that mind frame. This is what Isaiah has said concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. At its highest of the mountains, it will be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and settle the disputes for many peoples. He will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
This is a picture of a sculpture that was created by a Soviet artist, and it was Evgeny Benevich is his name, and Mr. Benevich completed that sculpture, and on December 4th, 1959, he presented it to the United Nations on behalf of the USSR. The name of that sculpture is "We Will to God's holy hill to see that. What a joy it is to imagine it.